Good morning again. We'll be reading from the book of Job this morning in chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Verses 1 through 6. The words of Job, who is in the midst of despair. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bring me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day." In verse 4, in the midst of all his despair, Job cried out these words, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" And then the despair is actually in the next two words, "No one, no one." Well, I know one who can, amen? And we are living under the new covenant, and we know one who can. And that's what I want to share with you today. Not a man who can, but one who can, and he is God. He is Jesus Christ, Lord of this universe. And he can. He can. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Lord, that you have all power, that all things are under your control today. Lord, we try to do things ourselves sometimes, but help us to understand to put things into your hand, that there are things and limitations that we can do and things that we cannot do. Help us not to encroach upon your things, but to rely upon you and to believe your word. Lord, I pray if there be somebody here today or listening who is trying to do things on their own, I pray that today, Lord, that they would trust you and find that you are able to bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. Incredible as that might sound, you can do it. And Lord, we pray for the sick of our church, for your continued blessings upon them. Bless those who are watching today and couldn't be here. Lord, we pray that you would just make these next few minutes a very special time in our life, and that it might have an impact on our lives, dear Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. So Job is in the midst of a great deal of suffering and in despair and agony, and we know that Job is a book, it's an ancient book, one of the oldest writings in the Bible. Actually, he's a man from the Far East. All we know that his name is Job, and we know that he experienced life, good parts and hard parts, and he struggled. And thinking about Job, we need to understand that he didn't have the New Testament to turn to and to read. He didn't have the teachings that we have of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have these things at his disposal. He didn't have an understanding of the resurrection. He's understanding about death and suffering. And he is pondering in the midst of all of his suffering. You know, life is hard, and so it is sometimes. And what is the value of life? Is this all there is to it? And there's something inside of Job that stirs him to, makes him want to believe and makes him know that there is more than this. You know, often people say, is this all there is to life? And if you don't have Christ, there is more to life than life itself, you know. So Job is working a long time ago without the assurances, but God is working in him and revealing some things into him. And so he comes out of this experience believing without having the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus, to which you have. Jesus rose from the dead. That's the foundation of all that we stand on today. It has happened. We don't hope that it will happen. Job is hoping that somehow, one of these days, there will be a resurrection from life. It has happened. It is fact. Amen? Jesus rose from the dead. That's his gift to you today, church. That is the foundation of all that we stand upon. We don't have to hope and wonder, is there life after death? We know there is because our Lord rose from the grave. He lives today, and he is at the right hand ever to make intercessions for us. So we have the assurance and the blessed hope in Christ's resurrection. Job didn't have that. And so he's reaching for straws, and he is pondering, and he's going through this agony, and he's thinking about, surely there must be life after death. You know, I've heard people talk about it, but surely there must be. And he comes out of his experience believing and convinced that there is, you know. Although he didn't have that assurance through the Word of God. But he talks about, in verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. And Job is actually confessing there, you know, before we can come before God, we're going to have to be cleaned. Amen? The unclean, that concept of the unclean being segregated and set apart away from God goes back way back through the Old Testament. That concept that man in his present state is considered unclean. Sin renders one unclean. There are many things in the Old Testament that rendered people unclean. And I've been reading some in the book of Leviticus and some of Moses' writings, and that is very complicated, that system that they have. Praise God, we're not living under the law. Amen? Amen. And that's what Paul tried to preach into the Jewish converts, that we are no longer under that law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise his name, because that was very complicated. Very complicated. I was just reading last night where Moses in the book of Leviticus, and God told him to share with Aaron and the priesthood how they declare people with leprosy clean and unclean, and you go through steps and the priest examines you and they do all these things. It's very complicated. You get two birds, you kill one and you take his blood and sprinkle, and you take the live one, set it free. Complicated. And I'm thinking, how in the world did they keep up with all that? You're talking about complicated. But it was a way that, they had to render a person clean who had been deemed unclean if he had leprosy. He was unclean. Many things rendered people unclean under the old covenant. Leprosy is one that even goes on into the New Testament in the Gospels. We know that the leper, and it's in the book of Leviticus, that he had to have his mouth covered. You know, we wore a few masks back in 2020 and got used to that stuff. But the leper, they usually just wore old rags, and they had to be segregated in colonies, and they just stayed out by themselves. And if they got close, anybody got close, they had to say unclean, unclean. Can you imagine living like that? You know, the shame and the awfulness of hopelessness. Leprosy was a terrible, terrible disease back in those days. But he's talking about here to come before God, to be worthy of life after death, we're going to have to be clean. You know, and he's looking, and he's at a dead end because I can't figure out how to cleanse myself. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You know, and that's all our attempts to save ourselves. We'll be left with his words. Not one. We can't do it. All our attempts to cleanse ourselves, we'll come up at a dead end. I heard an old preacher preach one time about moral reform. It's good, you know, to straighten up. But he said, when you get down to it, if you're lost, you can do all these things. And you'll be the cleanest sinner in hell. We cannot cleanse our soul. But we know one who can. We know one who can. The cleansing that we need when we think about standing before God. When the great King David sinned and fell, Psalms 51 is the psalm of his repentance and his brokenness as sin had disrupted his fellowship with God and caused him a great deal of agony. And he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can go through some processes and do some things, but the cleansing and the washing must come from God. And he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. And what he's saying is, because of sin, I feel unclean. I do not feel at peace with God. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. I can't get away from this. It follows me everywhere I go. On my bed at night, during the day, it is before me. Cleanse me from my sins. I acknowledge my transgressions. That's a step. Get out of denial. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David acknowledging way back when that the cleansing we can't do ourselves must come from God. Man can't do it. Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? He said, not one. Nobody can. But we know one who can. The lepers who lived under that old covenant, and some even into the gospel times. But think about those lepers and the process of being deemed clean that they had to go through, have to be examined by the priest multiple times, had to go through all these things. But there weren't very many who were cleansed. In fact, our Lord shares in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, about how rare, really, that miracles are and have been in the world. There were miracles in the Old Testament. Our Lord performed many miracles. In fact, when He cut off the miracles, the people began to withdraw and quit following Him. But Jesus made a point here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and He mentions these who were lepers in the Old Testament. In verse 25, I'll read on up to it. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and great famine throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, except unto Septria, a city of Sidon, unto a widow that was a widow. And then He says this. Many lepers were in Israel. And this is the northern kingdom after the kingdom split. And He said there were a lot of lepers in there. And these people were confined to live in leper colonies and to go around with a rag over their mouth and saying unclean if you got close to them, dependent upon charity and things that were given them. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha. This is Elisha, who followed Elijah. In the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So of all the Syrians that lived in the time of Elisha in northern Israel, there's quite a few people. There's 10 tribes of Israelites there. Jesus said not but one was cleansed, and he was a Syrian, a man by the name of Naaman, who had come to be healed and cleansed, and he was when he dipped into the Jordan River 7 times. But he was cleansed by God. So it was a rare thing for the lepers to be cleansed. It was forbidden for people to touch the lepers. Christ broke with a lot of their traditions of the day. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, I added one, Alex, don't worry about that. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. I am unclean. I can't live a decent life in society because I have been deemed unclean because of this dreaded disease. I'm living in torment. I'm not even supposed to approach people But he had heard of Jesus, and he comes to Christ and says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Teaching us the attitude that we should have when we come to Christ. Christ can do it. We know one who can. He says, "I have nowhere else to turn, but I know that if you will, you can make me clean." Let's read Christ's response. "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." That's a no-no in that society. "Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Just that quick, cleansed. Just that quick, we can be cleansed of our sins. And that is the good news that we have today, and we need to share with excitement to people. You know, when we think about straightening up ourselves, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No man, nobody. We can't do that. We can do better. You know, we talk about doing better. We can straighten up, but we cannot take the uncleanness away. Only Jesus can do that, and he can do it. And he is willing, you know. He's just waiting for us to be like the leper and come to him with faith and saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." My own efforts have left me frustrated. Job's efforts had left him frustrated, but he didn't have the Gospels to turn to Jesus. He didn't have that, and we have that today, and we are without excuse today. And Job is a testimony to us, you know, to tell us how blessed we are to live in this dispensation of time. And sure, things are bad, and we talk about, boy, it's awful. It's awful, the things are going on out there. It is, but listen, this is also a very exciting time to be alive. And we are called to shine lights here in the darkness of the world. It is a great time to be alive for the church. We have a wonderful message of hope. We have a message of life to share with people, backed up by the Word of God. God's holy Word. Not our words, but His words. How'd you like to live in Job's time? And you're pondering these things, and there's great spiritual warfare going on in a realm he can't see, but guess what? He feels it. He feels the blows, the darts, and the weapons beating at him, you know, of a larger warfare going on, spiritual warfare. The kingdoms of light and darkness going at it. And Job, he don't really understand it all, but he feels it, and he's left there, you know, to ponder things for his own, and he done a pretty good job of figuring things out. You don't have to figure it out today. Jesus completed the work that saves you. I know one that can help you obtain this cleanliness. We can do all we want to do, but we cannot clean ourselves. Unclean people. Well, the Jews had this thing, and they looked upon Gentiles, and we are Gentiles, as being what? Unclean people. Unclean. The Samaritans were half Jews, a mixed race of people, partly Jews, but they had no dealings with the Samaritans. And they walked through their territory. They would kick the heels of their feet to get the dust off, lest the dust of that dreaded territory cling to us as a testimony against those dreaded Samaritans. Those dreaded Samaritans who Jesus used as teaching points and ministering to multiple times, the Samaritans. Considered unclean to the Jews. When the day of Pentecost come and the church was launched. The Holy Spirit came after the resurrection of Jesus. The church is launched with great success and it explodes. The kingdom of God, the mustard seed, takes root and grows. People are being saved by leaps and bounds. 5,000, 2,000, about 3,000, about 5,000, you know, just huge numbers of people being saved. And then something happened. Persecution, and they scattered. The fellowship was great, but then great persecution, it scattered. And so the Christians migrated. They got out of Jerusalem, except the apostles. They stayed on to anchor the mother church, which is at Jerusalem. However, those who left carried the gospel with them. One man who was one of the church first deacons, a man by the name of Philip, who is later known as an evangelist. It says that he went down there into Samaria and began to preach the gospel. Of course, the apostles had to check that out. You know, they're in a learning curve. They know this unclean thing. Can these Samaritans be saved? And apparently, they could. Apparently, they could be saved and were responding to the gospel. And then something else happened. And then a God-fearing Gentile by the name of Cornelius, it's revealed unto him that he needs to hear the gospel. The angel said, I can't tell you, but you go down to Joppa, and there's a man by the name of Peter, and he will share the gospel with you. And that's what you have to hear before you're saved. But he's a Gentile. He's a friendly Gentile. He is what's called a God-fearing Gentile. And maybe he's a Roman officer, friendly with the Jews, but still he is a Gentile. And while he has sent men to get Peter, the Lord intervened with Peter. Why? Because up until this time, Peter would have looked upon him as unclean. You know, we don't eat with them. We certainly are not about to share the gospel with them. But Peter has an experience here with a vision in Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 16. The Bible says, and while they are coming to get Peter right now to come preach the gospel, it says, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending upon him, and it had been a great sheet knit from the four corners, let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, saying, Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean. I've been strict with the dietary laws of the Mosaic law. I don't, certain animals I don't eat. Catfish was one of them, by the way. Did you know that? Fish with no scales. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto me again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call thou not common. God is doing a work on Peter here, preparing him. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. Now Peter doubted in himself what the vision he had seen meant, And behold, the men are knocking at the door. And God says, what God has cleansed, don't call that common. And so God is revealing unto Peter, hey, you may call them people unclean, but the gospel of Jesus Christ will make them clean. Your job is to go and share it. And go, he did, and share the gospel, he did. And this man was saved, and his family was saved, and they were baptized there, you know. And so the church is growing and getting over this concept of some people are unclean and not worthy of the gospel. What God has cleansed, that call thou not common. Sometimes we might be a little bit biased and prejudiced. You know, what we see has an effect upon us, and some things, you know, upset us and all. But listen, what God cleanses is clean. He can. Remember, the leper said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Nobody is beyond the reach of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody is beyond his ability to cleanse them from their sins. I couldn't tell you how many times I've counseled people who struggle with their salvation. It's just like, boy, I've done something. Surely the Lord. And most of the time it is trivial things, you know, and I just try to say, look, he is able to cleanse us from all our sins. Let go of it. Quit trying to cleanse yourself, because that's a dead end. Job told us that thousands of years ago. It's a dead end. Let Jesus do the cleansing. He can cleanse. He can cleanse. And so the church went worldwide. St. Paul and Barnabas carried the gospel into the Gentile territories. And the rest is history. And here we are today. Guess who we are? Gentiles, amen? We are Gentiles, you know, grafted in, cleansed by the saving power of Jesus, and blessed. We know one who can cleanse us from all of our sins, you know, unclean. Aren't you glad that the gospel, that Jesus didn't look at us and say, they're Gentiles, they're unclean, they have no way to come. And I'm going to tell you, when Paul and Barnabas later carried the gospel, Silas later, but when they carried the gospel and they went into Gentile territories, before these Gentiles were sort of left out, considered unclean, and when they expounded to them and announced to these Gentiles that gospel now is open to you, and it says they rejoiced and they were glad, you know, the gospel is for us too, you know, what a privilege, and they saw it as a privilege. And today, you know, people look at it just like, well, it's just something old hat, you know, we're used to it, we don't appreciate it, but we need to have the excitement that the first Gentiles, how they embraced it with excitement. It says they were glad, you know. Paul said, we're going to the Gentiles, you know. The gospel is for you. And he said, hey, and they will receive it. And they did. And our forefathers did. And we are here today. And we need to continue to preach it and to teach it, to share it, to witness unto those today. So our families and friends and kids and grandkids will believe it and be cleansed from their sin. You know, what a privilege it is to be able to know Jesus today and to be saved. I don't know much today, but I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Oh, what God has cleansed, call thou not common. Some of those hard-headed Hebrew first-century Christians struggle with that. Oh, it's hard for them. They said, these Gentiles are being saved. Don't know so much about that. Them people come out of pagan background. Oh, we're going to go down there and straighten them out. And it's all, well, you may say you're saved, but you ain't really saved until you be circumcised and keep all the law. And Paul said, that is a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker. He said, no, you don't have to. Just believe on Jesus and you are saved. Amen. Praise God that we're not under the law anymore, people. But Jesus has freed us from that. And He is the one who can make us clean. We're not looked upon as unclean in the eyes of God. Whoever you are, you know, if you've been saved, you are clean before God. Well, I'm not perfect. No, we're not. I have many faults. Me. But I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, God accepted that atonement. And He sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see me, my faults, my failures, how miserable and wretched I am at times, but He sees the righteousness of Christ. What a deal. What a deal. To cleanse us from our sins and not just make us okay, but to make us just. Not our justice, but the justness of Christ upon us. What a deal. What a deal. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and 5 tells us, for this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. No unclean person. We're not going to make it before God as an unclean person. So, wow, what in the world must we do? What must we do? Isaiah said a long time ago, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool, white as snow. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sins. So remember our text, old Job, way back when, trying to make some sense about life and death and eternity, surely, but really no concrete hope, written word of God about life after death, just saying, you know, it seems that there should be life after death. I want to believe there is. Again, we know there is because Jesus rose from the dead. And Job, in the midst of his despair, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Frustrated with our own efforts to cleanse ourselves only leads us to a dead end. Think that, you know, I've had people who were pretty sick to tell me before, well, I've been a pretty good person. You know, I've done this and done that. That has nothing to do with it. I won't cut it. Are you saved? We, no matter how good we've been or going to be and have intentions, we can't cleanse ourselves. Job says, no one. You can't make something clean out of something unclean. But again, we know one who can. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You say, well, I want to read one more scripture. And we're getting ready to close, Brother Danny. No one can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. The book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and closing. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And they say, oh, but I've done something, oh, Pastor, I've just said. The Bible says from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and again to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Who can make a clean thing out of an unclean? No one, but I know one who can. His name is Jesus. He is Lord of this universe. And these are serious things that we deal with. Job was pondering life and death. And a few days we'll all be gone. You know, life is passing. I was called to have prayer with a lady this past week. I had just time for the time I got to where she was at to say three words to her, to read the 23rd Psalm, and to pray over her. And before I left that room, she went into eternity. That quick. That quick. We don't know when our last breath will be. We don't know how long we have here, you know. But we know one thing. I know one who can make us clean. We want to be ready, okay? We don't want to die in our sins. We want to know we are saved. You know, there was a young man recently at a revival. He really struggled over his salvation, you know. We need to know. And God doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to know and to have the assurance. I believe in the assurance of salvation. He wants us to enjoy the joy of our salvation. Have you been saved? We're going to stand together and sing. If you're here today, if you don't know, you can know. If you're trying to do better, God don't want to hear that. Quit trying to clean yourself and come to Jesus. Let him do the work that renders you clean in the sight of God. Shall we sing?